the Sportscast, April 4th, 2022. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, twitch.tv, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook. And if you are on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker, play Sportscast. Also, go to thesportscast.net for the latest and greatest, and go download our app, The Sportscast, for iOS. The national championship is set. The two teams have made it. Kansas versus UNC, two great heavyweights going to collide. Probably the two best teams in the tournament, in my opinion. But we're going to recap the Final Four to see what happened. What happened that caused the national championship to be between UNC versus Kansas? And join us all the way from the great state of Arizona, Nicholas Hodel. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Thank you so much. I mean, Saturday was about pretty much anything I would have hoped for from those semifinals. I'm really looking forward to tonight's championship, hoping we get this a very close game like Duke North Carolina was.
Oh, absolutely. I thought the games were pretty, pretty exciting, pretty enticing, I would say. But we'll definitely see what's going to happen tonight. First, let's recap Villanova versus Kansas. The game that was not most watched compared to UNC Duke, but Kansas showed that they were number one. What were your thoughts over that match, which they won 81-65?
Yeah, I really think that Kansas made it clear that they were going to be the better team. And one of the things that we had talked about with Villanova was that if you get close to Villanova, they're going to make something out of it because of their free throw shooting ability. Well, Kansas took that completely out by an impressive three-point shooting game. Over 50% from the floor. Ojai Ajabi in particular was 6-7 from three-point land. He started to play like the All-American he can be. And him and David McCormick, after a pretty subpar tournament to this point, also was really effective with 25 points, 9 rebounds, 10 of 12 from the floor, no threes within that mix, which is really good to see. So Kansas' star players really got back to themselves. And that was one of the things with Kansas, that they needed Remy Martin to come off the bench and do great things because their star players weren't producing like the star players they are. In the semifinal with McCormick and Ajabi, saw that. And that's exactly what Kansas needed to make that game. Pretty much, by the way, after the first 10 minutes, I'm going to be completely honest, because Villanova just could not keep up. And they found their signature runs, but Kansas always had a response. And when you put yourself in that position, all you need is a response, and you'll be fine.
What lacked in Villanova's team that couldn't make it over the hump against Kansas?
I really think that their defense early on just kind of betrayed them quite a bit. And it was to a point to where they couldn't find the defense that was necessary to really win that game. And with Villanova, you see it quite a bit. When they're not playing the defense that they want to, typically, they're not going to end up on the right side of things. I mean, that was the first game. And that was the first game in the month of March that Villanova had given up more than 75 points. They gave up 74 against Providence on March 1, and after that proceeded to not give up any more than 65 until Saturday semifinal. So their defense really was terrific, and that slow tempo they like to play at really carries them through. But when a team shoots really well against Villanova, I mean, there's just not a whole lot they can do to stop that on a typical night. And that's pretty much what we got.
Gillespie with 17 points, Slater with 16 points. Kansas, as Hodel mentioned, McCormick 25 points, Abaji 21 points. Pretty predictable game. A lot of people were picking Kansas to win this matchup. Let's go into the main highlight. The main highlight of Saturday night, I thought, no pun intended, UNC beating Duke 81-77. It was Coach K's last match of his career, and pretty much of a thriller. It was sad, bittersweet, but what were your thoughts over this game?
Yeah, I mean, Caleb Love definitely made himself into a star. I mean, his not the best shooting performance from three. Let's get it out of the way. 3 of 10 in the game, but he made the shots when they really counted late in that game. He found his touch from beyond the three-point arc and made some big free throws as well late. And his 28-point performance is going to be one that is remembered for a long time within the North Carolina program. But I really have to tip my cap to both teams. Really close game, competitive game. And this game didn't get to that point until late in the contest. I mean, this was an incredibly tight game for pretty much the entire evening. And that's what rivalry games like this in a national semifinal should be. And that's the game itself was a terrific win for the sport of college basketball. Not just North Carolina that I'm getting in the win column moving on to today, but it's a terrific performance from both of these teams. Now, the one area that I thought both these teams lacked in was the free throw department. North Carolina, 17 of 24 for the game. Duke, 12 of 20. Mark Williams missed a couple of big ones late. And when you get late in close games like that, you got to be able to knock down the free throws. And that came back to bite.
Yes, Nicholas hit right the nail. It was a close match, back-to-back, saw it live. Something that Duke couldn't hold on against UNC, way talented team. What do you see in this UNC team? You know, eighth seed, you know, ranked a little bit lower than, you know, going up to a 2 or 1. But how come this UNC is clicking at this moment?
Well, I mean, their seeding was really dictated on some of their shortcomings in the regular season. I mean, the loss to Pittsburgh at home back in February 16 was a bad loss. And what they really did since that loss, I mean, the immediate follow-up in February 19 was a win at Virginia Tech. They go in, they win the next last five of the regular season, the win at Duke to close the regular season. They really beat up Virginia in the ACC tournament. Virginia Tech, when they played North Carolina in the ACC tournament, was hotter than heck. And there was really no stopping Virginia Tech in that ACC tournament. But I think North Carolina learned even more about themselves from that game. I mean, they crushed Marquette. They were crushing Baylor before Brady Manek and eventually Caleb Love were forced out of the game. They beat UCLA on a really good night. They beat St. Peter's with an incredible game for North Carolina fans. I know it was a 20-point game. So what they've really done is that they learned so much about themselves over the course of the regular season. And I think what Hubert Davis has done a terrific job in doing is taking that and translating it to a team that has become unstoppable. And this is the kind of team that I don't think anyone wanted to face going into the NCAA tournament in the first place, but they've really proven that. I believe it's one of the terrific coaching jobs of the season that's not going to get really counted in the awards list because they only go and account in the regular season. But just the last now month and a half for North Carolina has been terrific, and it's been more of the North Carolina that I think this sport is better off with. And I don't think it's anything that we were expecting, but I think Coach Hubert Davis has done a terrific job. And I'll just remind you of this. After North Carolina gave up 98 points in the road to Wake Forest, ugly, ugly loss, this team was 12-6 in the season. And what they've done since then has been nothing short of remarkable.
Making history for a first-year head coach, quite remarkable. Let's go to the other coach, Coach K. You know, retiring after the season. He's retired right now. Nick, where does his legacy is right now after that loss?
Well, this will be an ugly one. I mean, having your career go out to your arch rival in the sport's biggest stage, that is rough, to say the least. But there's no denying what he's done at Duke. I mean, between the national championships, the 13 Final Four appearances now that he has, constantly bringing in the top talent to Duke. There's a people love to dunk on Duke. It's because they are and have been the sport's perennial program, or one of the perennial programs in this sport. with Coach K at the helm. And that's Coach K. I mean, what he has been able to do has been nothing short of remarkable. And I could believe that the sport's going to miss him very, very dearly. And you say what you want about him as a person. I mean, obviously, I think Twitter's opinion was made loud and clear after that game. But you have to respect what he's done for Duke and what he's done for the sport of college basketball. It's been terrific to watch.
Did Duke surpass expectations? You know, they weren't really, I guess, predicted to win at all, but do you think they surpassed expectations or they were at a right stage to be sent off?
I think that what Duke did this year was probably about what I expected from this Duke team. Like we knew the talent of this team going in. Like we knew that they were going to be a terrific team to watch. Just based on, I mean, their first game on a neutral floor to start the year way back in November was a really good neutral site win against Kentucky. Like we knew this team had the pieces between Paolo Banchero and guys like Wendell Moore and Trevor Keels, who's been terrific in his freshman season. Like we knew the sort of talent that this team had, and they were able to really put together a really solid season, like a Final Four appearance, even though they did not get to the championship game. I don't think it's a season that should be frowned upon. Like it is so difficult in college basketball in the NCAA tournament to get to the Final Four. Nonetheless, make the national championship, then go on to win it as either Kansas or North Carolina will do tonight. It's so difficult to do, and that's why a coach with 13 Final Four appearances is a new record. It's so remarkable what the program has done. And for that team this year, like that's about what Duke should have done this year. Get to New Orleans and see what happens. Now, obviously, it ends in academia in the semis, but I would not knock it against Duke. Like, I'm not going to say it's a championship or bust. Like, a Final Four is still a very good season, no matter how you put it.
Quite remarkable, of course. Duke is a perennial institution in college basketball, Nick, that which Nick has said before. Two schools going to tonight's big game. UNC versus Kansas, both have a lot of history. We're going to preview this game tonight. Nick, how do you see this matchup tonight? What will happen?
I think there's a couple of key positional battles that I'm really looking forward to. Number one, McCormick versus Armando Bacot. Will Bacot's ankle be completely fine? Because if he is, he has rebounded like no one else's business in this NCAA tournament. 20-plus rebounds now in two consecutive games. Those are two bigs. They know their role. They're not going to shoot the threes. And I would presume that they will be matched up against each other. So I'm really looking forward to seeing that particular matchup. Caleb Love versus Ojai Ajabi, I think, will also be a very good matchup. With Caleb Love and what he's done in this tournament, he has played incredibly well on numerous occasions. He's had his off nights, nights where he just wasn't used that much. But for the most part, he has been terrific to watch. Love has. So how Love and Ajabi will match up will be very, very interesting. And then sort of the other role players from there. I mean, Brady Maddox, a guy I've really fallen in love with in this tournament for North Carolina. Like he just knows how to shoot that three ball when it's absolutely necessary. And he's done that very well in this NCAA tournament. And you have guys like that. You have guys like Christian Braun as well who can do pretty much the same thing. I'm very curious to see how Remy Martin comes off the bench and performs as well. I think that would be a very key thing to watch in this game. So I think the two positional matchups, the star matchup in the front court and in the back court, are going to be very, very key. But other players as well are going to have to step up. Like, this cannot be just a game where we're focusing on two matchups exclusively. Like, we're going to have to see, you know, a third or fourth productive guy from one of these teams. And if both these teams get that third or fourth productive score, this is going to be a very entertaining championship game.
UNC's Armando Bacot had an ankle injury during the game against Duke. He's said he's ready to play. He won't be 100%. Is this going to be a significant factor for UNC?
I think it can be. I think the one thing with David McCormick is that he is a I mean, he's a 6'10", 250 center. Like, he's got a massive physical frame. And I think the other thing to point out, too, with McCormick, that he hadn't quite gotten into much of a rhythm in this NCAA tournament. So I'll be very curious to see if he can properly follow up the semifinal performance with a classic championship performance as well, or if he struggles. I mean, if he struggles, I could easily see Bacot, even not 100%. I mean, he looked pretty solid to me in the last, like, 3 minutes of that game when he came back, which credit to him on that alone. Like, that is the heart of a champion and what a warrior is. And so I think that matchup, as much as it's going to depend on how well the ankle is and how limited that mobility can be, I also think McCormick's play is going to have a big factor in that, because if he disappoints, Bacot could still easily win that positional battle down low.
Jayhawks are favorited. Vegas is favoring the Jayhawks by not a huge margin, but it will be a tight match. We'll have predictions towards the end of the show. Let's go look back at this bracket. You picked Arizona to win this tournament. What happened? And looking back, what would you have done different in this bracket?
Yeah, I mean, the inexperience of Arizona. I think that's the number one thing, because, I mean, we say this time and time again, yet every year it seems like almost none of us gurus listen to ourselves. Experience in the tournament is so key to success. And I believe it. I mean, that's why we're seeing the type of guys that we are seeing in this tournament. I mean, these are guys that, at least in North Carolina's case, they have gone through hell and back in this season. They really had to grow to get where they are. And that's been so, so critical. And then you look at a Kansas team that's had to do just as much learning about themselves. There, at the end of the day, the star players are all experienced. McCormick and Ajabi, the two guys I'm mentioning a lot, they are both seniors on this team. Remy Martin's come in and made such a big impact, a graduate transfer coming from Arizona State. And so these are the type of guys that you want to see in this tournament. This is experience at its finest. And ultimately, that's what the tournament is all about. You could have players get hot at the right time, but ultimately, you have to have the experience. I mean, let's not forget something here, that this is not Hubert Davis's first rodeo as a coach. It is as a head, but he's been an assistant for quite a long time, and he was an assistant coach under Roy Williams for nearly a decade before getting the promotion to the head coaching role in North Carolina. So he's a first-year head, but he knows how to do this at North Carolina. So all around, these are two teams that embody experience, plain and simple.
Which team surprised you the most in this tournament this year?
Well, outside of the obvious in St. Peter's, they were just so terrific to watch over the course of this particular year. I would probably say that it would be either Iowa State or Miami. And Miami in particular, just because of the way they just kind of ended the regular season. And they went from 13-3 to 22-9. Now, that's not to say that's that bad. I mean, that's really solid stuff. But, I mean, some of the losses they took, I mean, they just were not too convincing whatsoever. They needed overtime in their first round game in the ACC tournament. Played well against Duke, but found their footing in the NCAA tournament to get to the Elite Eight to face Kansas. That was pleasantly surprised by. And the entire ACC, too. Like, let's just go ahead and throw the entire ACC in there. A conference that was trademarked the narrative all year of being weak. And this year's ACC is last year's Pac-12. They both excelled in March. And that's the thing about the NCAA tournament. And it's something I've said on the College Bachelor Bonanza in previous episodes plenty of times, that this tournament can change narratives. Like, sure, you can have a pretty lackluster regular season, but once you get to the NCAA tournament and you make it Elite Eight, you make a Final Four, and that's all really matters at the end of the day. It doesn't matter how you get to this tournament. It's how you do in the tournament. Like, this tournament has that power to change narratives. And just for Miami in particular, under Coach Jim Larrañaga, a program that after three consecutive years of making the tournament had made the tournament in three more years. Obviously including the Canton one in 2020 that Miami would have made anyway. It was a much improved team. I think we all knew that going into the season. We never thought an Elite Eight was possible. Yeah, here we are with an Elite Eight, the best tournament run in Jim Larranega's tenure with Miami. And that's the beautiful thing about this tournament. You just never know what's really going to happen. Like, we could sit here and I could make 50 brackets. I still wouldn't get a perfect one, especially in this year's tournament, because it was so nuts, just the amount of stuff that was happening in this tournament. Like, yes, we got all the blue bloods in the Final Four, but this is honestly the perfect kind of tournament to me. You get the craziness in the early rounds, have it linger into the second weekend, but ultimately you get the programs that deserve to be there. And that's what this tournament was. Just a phenomenal tournament.
Setting those benchmarks. Which team disappointed you the most in this tournament?
I would say Kentucky by far and away. I mean, Oscar Sheboy, I mean, he was still fantastic in the NCAA tournament game against St. Peter's that Kentucky lost to in overtime. I mean, he still had a fantastic performance. But for a team that, you know, I wasn't expecting that kind of a close game whatsoever. And that's just so disappointing. And really, not even just that. I mean, the SEC tournament was quite disappointing as well. The loss to Tennessee. It's incredibly disappointing for a team that had the kind of talent that it had, and as every coach in the country is going through right now, Coach Cal's going to have to rebuild. Like, every year is a rebuilding process now at every institution, whether you like it or not. Sure, pros will return and give you a good core, but if you don't work in the transfer portal, you're not going to make much of it. And that's what Coach Calipari did in Kentucky. Still couldn't get out of the first round. Like, I don't know what to say anymore about that. Like, it's just so disappointing.
Kentucky, who got out because of St. Peter's first round? Can you make a prediction who will win it next year?
Good freaking luck. I mean, there's just so much uncertainty right now between the portal. I'm sure it's exceeding 1,100 players at this point, but we're well over 1,000. And some have committed. There have been some decent commits that we have talked about on our show, which will come out Wednesday on our College Basketball Bonanza and it's all its podcast platforms. We did talk about some of those. But at this point in time, I know the writers will probably come out with their way too early top 25. So they're going to try and get that out for next year. With the way college basketball is at this point, that's just flat out stupid. Like, I get the need for content and stuff like that, but I wouldn't be able to do anything like that until like July, if I'm being completely honest. With the way the portal is nowadays, I mean, this used to not be a huge issue. Like, most of the high school recruiting, like most of those top prospects have committed. Right. It's just the portal now. And you can build winners completely off the portal. Let's just take North Carolina in as an example. Brady Manick, someone I've loved in this tournament. That's a graduate transfer from Oklahoma. He's been such a key piece to this team. And I don't know if they make it happen really without him. But now, with that being said, it also should be worth noting that most of these pieces did return from playing North Carolina last year. So it's not like this is a completely transfer-built team. But that's kind of where we are right now in college basketball. Like, you just need that one piece off that portal. If you get that one piece off that portal, you're going to be pretty darn good for themselves. And honestly, the same thing can be said about Kansas and Remy Martin. The exact same thing can be said there. With the way Kansas played at points this year, like, I wasn't sure they're going to get to this point, if we're going to be completely honest. But Remy Martin, he was the kind of guy that was expected to transcend this Kansas program pretty much to this point. Now, he's had to do that from the bench in a six-man role. But he's been incredibly comfortable in that position. But the same thing also applies, which most of these players, you know, played with Kansas the last several couple of years, and they know that system pretty darn well. So it's not to say that it's going to be like impossible to do it at this point. Like, you can have a pretty clear cut idea, but the transfer portal and all the uncertainty around it just makes it impossible at this stage to really go into stuff for next year.
Transfer portal, a major factor, not just in basketball, college basketball, but also college football. So
yeah,
quite interesting.
Yeah. I don't think football is quite to the basketball level just yet, but it certainly is getting there. Like, I think the college basketball is probably like the first big place where I was like, holy cow, what are they doing here with all of these players in the portal? And the NCAA did this upon themselves, and they gave the players that free year. To kind of transfer, that one-time transfer. Like, they did this to themselves. Like, they created the beast. And that's just the way it is right now. And, like, we are going to do it. Like, we have accepted it. But the transfer portal is going to be like this on an annual basis. And that's just kind of the way things are right now. Like, over the next several months, like, we're just going to keep getting the trickle of portal commitments. And it's just kind of going to be like that.
Yeah, one big pond definitely for football with Joe Burrow. That was, I was thinking about him, but that might be once in a lifetime. All right, final predictions: Nicholas Hodel, UNC versus Kansas, the conclusion of the 2022 March Madness season. What's going to happen tonight with the score line and the winner?
I believe that it's going to be the Kansas experience that comes out on top in this one. This is very dependent on if Ochai Ajabi plays very well, because no matter what really happens in that front court, whether McCormick comes out on top in that battle with Baycott, or if it is Baycott that wins that positional battle, if we see the guards, if we see guys like Ochai Ajabi and Christian Braun and Remy Martin off the bench, like if those guys can provide the good shooting-wise, I think Kansas will be – I don't want to say it's going to be too comfortable. This will be an incredibly close game. But I think Kansas will find a way to come out on top if they can get their three-point shooting really intact. And not even just the three-point shooting itself, but just find a way to get the guards hot, get them good shots. I think that's going to be an incredible key to this game for the Jayhawks.
Score line?
I would probably say around like a couple possessions. I would not have be shocked to see the game go to overtime, but I don't think we're looking at that kind of scenario here. I think it's probably like between like 5 to 8 points somewhere in there, and I think that's probably the way this thing will go down.
5 to 8 points, you're here on the Sportscast tonight. Tip off is I know 5, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, they're advertising is like 9:20 Eastern time, which is just
Eastern time. I mean, which is insane.
I mean, a piece of life advice, like get yourself someone that loves you as much as college football and basketball loves late Monday night championship games. Like, it's absurd. But obviously here in Arizona, I don't have that problem because it's 6:20 my time and it's great.
I wish I was in Pacific. Yeah. And it'll be on TBS, not on big CBS. So you'll be seeing some Chuck and Kenny the Jet. So pretty exciting tonight. College basketball is going to come to it's going to be a good game, I think. Not overtime great, but good enough to stay till midnight in the East Coast.
Yeah.
Nick, poll question of the day on the Sportscast Twitter poll: what is your favorite item in seafood? Options are oranges, broccoli, green peppers, or tomatoes.
Seafood, right?
The options are oranges, broccoli, green peppers, and tomatoes for your favorite vitamin C. But you could say seafood if you want.
Okay. I do love myself a nice solid orange.
nice.
Yeah, I mean, the grapefruit, haven't had one in a while, but those are good. Like any kind of fruit, really, I just love. Like, I'm a big fruit person here.
Awesome. Your oranges. I'm not a big cantaloupe or melon type of guy. That's just not me. But
yeah, I mean cantaloupes, I mean, I definitely like myself a solid bowl of that. Watermelon, like, I could really go for some watermelon right about now. That does sound really good. Like, if you get some fresh watermelon, oh, it's so good.
Do you put salt on your watermelon?
No, I'm not really a big like shot or like I know my family will know this one very well. Like, try to put like sugar and strawberries, just like, oh my gosh, no. Like, just give me my strawberries. Don't mess with it. Because strawberries are another amazing fruit. Like, so good.
You do it is. Right. And I could, you know, get a can of whipped cream and put it on top.
Oh, yes.
I can handle that.
Yes.
All right. Well, Nick, what is the best way to reach you online tonight to talk to you about the game?
Yeah, so you can follow me on Twitter, at Hodell Sports. That's where most of my discussion tonight is going to be. We'll probably have some tweets on the Bonanza page, but we're good, but I will be tweeting myself personally for the most part on this game. For the College Basketball Bonanza, you can follow us on Twitter, at College Bonanza. The plan is to put out an episode tonight reacting to the national championship. So I got to put my thoughts into words and vocalize them. So you can follow us there. It'll be a late episode that comes out tonight, but we will out tonight. And also on TikTok at College Bonanza. There'll be plenty of content coming this offseason over there as well. I'll have a lot more time on my hands to actually make good content. So those will be the places to be through the offseason. We'll be focusing quite a bit on the portal. And even this coming Sunday, for the Bonanza, we're going to have Sunday and then Tuesday of just award show stuff. Going through, getting out our year-end awards. I'm really looking forward to that. So at College Bonanza on Twitter and TikTok. And then also, because you could search the College Basketball Bonanza on your preferred podcast platform, and we got plenty of content from there. I mean, if you want to listen to older episodes and listen to us get freezing cold takes, you can do that at your leisure.
Nicholas Hodell, the smartest kid in Arizona State University when it comes to college basketball. You can reach us at thesportscast.net, our website, or thesportscast1 for Twitter and Instagram. We'll be tweeting tonight throughout the games. Looking forward to it. Hopefully a close one. I'll be staying up a little bit later tonight and watching sports history. Will it be sports history? We'll find out tonight. Anyways, Nick Hodell, I really appreciate you coming on to this season. Do you do NBA mock drafts, or you don't get involved with that?
Not too much. But I will say that, like, the NBA draft is actually kind of fulfilling to watch, just because, like, you pretty much know those players by, like, heart. And, like, it's something I will definitely pay attention to. But there are much better people here at Cronkite than I am as far as, like, the mock draft stuff is concerned. Like, I'm just, like, I've grown up with the college game, and that's just kind of, like, where I've kind of, like, specialized myself over the course of time.
There you have it. Nick, thanks for coming on to the Sportscast, and this was your update. We'll be right back.